Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us again today, August 13th, 2020. With me today are members of the Emergency Services Council with support of the Kodiak Police Department, our school district, and our public health. You may be aware how our emergency system functions. First, we have the Emergency Services Council. This governing body makes decisions for the Emergency Operations Center and the community to follow. The Emergency Services Council is comprised of city and borough officials, both mayors and both managers. The ESC also includes the Coast Guard base and air station commanders. The Alaska State Troopers are on the board as well. So there are federal, state, and local government representatives on the Emergency Services Council. There are also liaison members added in this case of COVID-19. We have the Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent and Public Health supporting us. Then there is the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center. This body responds to the incident and follows direction of the ESC. The Emergency Operations Center is comprised of borough and city staff trained in incident command. Depending on the situation, the EOC may also have liaison members as well. As you see, there are many members involved working together to respond to this pandemic or any other natural disaster we may face. All of this is described in the Kodiak Area Emergency Operations Plan. This is a joint plan approved by local governing bodies. The plan is also available online at the borough and city webpage. So recently, Alaska has had to hunker down again or limit businesses due to additional COVID outbreaks. These mandates are causing challenges for compliance and stressing the business community even further than earlier this year. Travel and community spread are two of the factors limiting business as usual. Kodiak Island Borough has been experiencing increased cases recently, namely at the one location on the southwest part of the island. However, the rest of the island is still in risk level green and able to function with the recommendations in place by the ESC Policy Making Board. Locally, this community has embraced the fact we need to take precautions when out in public, and those measures have allowed us to remain in the green level. For those important reasons, the Kodiak Island Borough School District is still on schedule to open September 8th for in-person education, as well as other educational options offered. We need to remain in green status to bring those children, teachers, and staff back together provide the important values of education that are basic to our standard as a society. Today, Public Health Nurse Elsa DeHart is here to update you on the Alitac COVID outbreak and our recent local case over the past weekend. Elsa?
So hi there. A couple things to update you on. Our Alitac case, we had a total of 38 cases from down there. The OBI Ocean Beauty did a great job taking people, separating them, flying them to Anchorage. A couple people needed medical attention. One person did land up being hospitalized. Excuse me. So it was a good thing that they were in Anchorage for that. All those people now are completing their isolation. And after this week, we won't have any more people on island from Alitac that are still in isolation. We'll be down to the one case. And the one case we had that came in over the weekend was another example of, you know, somebody who came here to do some work, doing just the right thing and quarantining themselves until they got tested and then being isolated until, you know, their time being isolated is up and not being in contact with any of the community. So really, we continue to thank our business partners and those who come to Kodiak to work and play to follow the rules. One of the things that is the really big takeaway from Alitac is how quickly that infection spread through that community, how quickly we went from, you know, just a couple people to many people being sick and infected, and through no one's fault at all, but that's just how quickly this can spread. And there's lots of exciting opportunities coming up where people are going to be gathering and really, I think we all encourage you to, you know, do your physical distancing and to wear your masks, wash your hands, use your hand sanitizer, and, you know, follow the mitigation plans that people have put together for these events so that we can continue to have them and we can have school opening again here in a couple of weeks. So thank you, Mike.
Yep, we're trying to get that school opened up again. If there's no visible way to tell who's infected, then it makes sense for everyone to wear masks to avoid spreading the virus to others. This virus is hiding within the human body, not showing symptoms, so it can infect someone unsuspecting and continue the life of the virus. Masks are not the only solution. We need to limit our contacts. We need to stand back and we need to wash our hands. So today I'd like to talk about washing your hands, what soap and warm water can do for you. Under the microscope, coronaviruses appear to be covered with pointy spires, giving them the appearance of having a crown or a corona, hence the name. Beneath the crown is the outer layer of the virus, which is made up of lipids, or what you and I would call fat. Now imagine the coronavirus is your butter dish covered with buttery fat. Try to wash your butter dish with water alone, but that butter is not coming off the dish. You need some soap to dissolve the grease. So soap or alcohol are very, very effective against dissolving the greasy liquid coating of the virus. What does getting rid of the outer layer do to the germ? It physically inactivates the virus, so it can't bind to or enter human cells anymore. Water and scrubbing with your hands are important in this process because the combination creates more soap bubbles, which disrupt the chemical bonds that allow the bacteria, virus, and other germs to stick to surfaces. You want to scrub, build up bubbles, and scrub some more, getting into every crack and crevice of your hands and fingers, including your fingernails, for at least 20 seconds. Now, when you rinse your hands, all the germs that have been hurt, trapped, or killed by soap molecules are washed away. All those bubbles and foam literally pick up germs and wash them down the drain, said Dr. William Schaffner, professor of preventative medicine and infectious disease at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville. Warm water with soap makes a much better lather. It helps to create more bubbles. Alcohol-based hand sanitizers can be as effective as soap if they're used properly. They need to have at least 60% alcohol in them. It's the alcohol that's the virus killer. Just putting a little dollop in your palm of your hand and wiping quickly isn't good enough. You've got to use enough to get it all over the surfaces. Rub it all over your hands, between your fingers, and on the back of your hands. That's because alcohol is different chemical, has a different chemical property. It helps break up the germ membranes, but you need to make sure it gets into direct contact with the bacteria or the virus. That's especially important because there are nasty germs and bacteria out there that don't have soft, fatty bellies that soap bubbles can attack, such as hepatitis A virus, poliovirus, meningitis, and pneumonia. So the next time you wash your hands for the umpteenth time, take pride in all those soapy bubbles you're creating and enjoy the pleasure of imagining those microscopic dead creatures circling the drain. I borrowed that explanation from Dr. Schaffner because I was curious why washing your hands was so effective in controlling this nasty virus. So there you go. The Kodiak Arts Council will distribute cloth masks again next Monday at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium from 11:30 to 1 p.m. They gave out 100 masks last week and will have more for you next Monday. These are the masks the EOC contracted the Kodiak mask makers to sew for everyone in need. I'm wearing one again today. For me, they're so handy because they hang around your neck, and when you need it, you just pull it up over your head. Mask makers are sewing 2,000 more and will have some with elastic strings for ease of use. So again, if you need a mask, go to the auditorium next Monday for a free mask. Speaking of masks, even the financial institutions are now making the case for masks. A Goldman Sachs analysis found that expanding mask usage by 15% could stave off additional stay-at-home orders that would cost the economy $1 trillion. But the bankers also say the U.S. is unlikely to meet that target without a national mandate. So why continue to debate? Why not just put the mask on? Down at the harbor, there's 10 new vessels in the harbor under quarantine. The harbor master has issued 130 harbor use agreements thus far. These vessels and crew are under quarantine because they have been at another port or had a crew change within the past 14 days. So they are abiding by this harbor rule to keep the virus from spreading into town. The governor has issued a revised mandate that went into effect on Tuesday. This is Health Mandate 10.1, international, interstate, and intrastate travel. This mandate applies to all persons entering Alaska, whether resident, worker, or visitor. This mandate applies to all forms of travel. If you look on the website, Section 4 speaks to the Alaska resident travelers. This section is worth traveling if you plan to travel, is worth reading, excuse me, if you plan to travel, and there are numerous scenarios to understand, such as interstate and international travel with a negative test, without results testing, upon arrival quarantine without a test, travel outside Alaska for less than 24 hours, traveling with a positive test result, travel for critical infrastructure. So there's so much to understand here. So I suggest you seek more information at covid19.alaska.gov/travelers. And you can find more local COVID information by following the city or borough website and link to the COVID dashboard, or follow the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center Facebook page. Remember, mask up, stand back, and wash your hands. We will return again next Thursday at noon for another community update. Thanks to everyone for keeping Kodiak strong.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
Alaska Aerospace Corporation says the windows for last week's attempted rocket launches at the Kodiak Spaceport were too narrow. Astro, a California-based company, tried to send its 3.1 rocket into space on four different days, each with a two-hour window. The president of Alaska Aerospace, Mark Lester, says it's not unusual to have launches called off during the testing phase, but a bigger window might improve the success rate.
We're negotiating with the FAA, Coast Guard, and others to determine if 2 hours is most appropriate or if we can negotiate a slightly longer window.
Lester says some last-minute issues developed during last week's attempts.
One was fishing boats that came into the safety zone in the waterway. And so for public safety, we closed the launch opportunity. And that's unfortunate because the speed of the boats takes a couple hours to get through the closure areas.
And that was on Sunday, August 2nd. Then on Tuesday, the launch window closed after delays in loading the rocket propellant. Another attempt on Thursday was scrubbed after a problem with the rocket's water drainage system. On Friday, the launch was canceled due to high wind shears. A new launch schedule has been set. It starts on August 30th and ends on September 3rd. Again, the FAA has only approved a two-hour window. Astro's 3.1 rocket is smaller in size and designed to launch satellites. The company hopes to drive down the cost of putting satellites into space. It says its 3.1 model is small enough to fit in a shipping container and can be towed by a truck. Lester says the rocket, if it's successful, could open up a lot of economic opportunity for Alaska. He says launch vehicles capable of sending small satellites into space are needed for telecommunications and monitoring the Earth, as well as military and government ventures. From time to time, luxury boats motor into Kodiak and other scenic Alaskan coastal communities. They drop anchor for a few days, resupply, and then take off. KMXT's Rhonda McBride has this commentary about a yacht that visited Kodiak. Her observations began at the grocery store.
It happens. You get in the grocery line with just a few items, and the couple in front of you has a great big cartload. So you settle in to wait. But suddenly, groceries go flying out of the bags, and the clerk is swiping their codes again to deduct items. And the man looks terribly uncomfortable, apologizes profusely. Apparently, the clerk didn't realize he was going to use a food stamps card, and not only went over the limit, but bought some products that aren't allowed. Toilet paper, for example. I didn't ask, but had the sense that the couple was new to government assistance. Perhaps something had happened to change their status in life. They seemed so shamed by the experience. I hadn't quite shaken that feeling of sadness from watching the couple's struggles when I spotted two people in the parking lot pushing two carts filled high with toilet paper. And I had to ask, why in the world do you need that much toilet paper? Do you work on a fishing boat headed out to sea? No, they said, as they hurriedly stashed rolls of paper into the back of what looked like a brand new rental car. We work on a yacht, and we just pulled in. So how many people are on the yacht, I asked. Two people, the woman replied. Two people? All that toilet paper? No, no, she said. They're the owners of a yacht called the Justby, and pointed to the logo on her vest. We're a crew of 14, and we travel the world. So what do you do on the yacht, I asked. The man with the Australian accent was the chef, and the woman said she's the interior supervisor. Wondered what that meant, but didn't ask, assumed it was a glorified term for housekeeper. But later that evening, I felt curious, thought I'd go for a walk at the small boat harbor in search of the Just Be. A fisherman had seen it out on the water and told me it was a pretty big boat and likely to be at the city dock. And there she was, next to the dock, a gleaming white floating mansion. A room on the top deck was enclosed in glass, and you could see exercise equipment inside. I spotted one of the deckhands and called to him from the side of the dock. Who owns this boat? He wouldn't say, but did tell me he loved his job on the Just Be, that they had just come from Hawaii, had spent time in Kodiak cruising the coast, and got some amazing photos of bears with their drones. Now, this came as a surprise. He said the owners sail on the Just Be for only a few weeks out of the year, but he was able to live and work on the yacht year-round. From the dock, I could see a beautiful outdoor living space on the lower deck with nice sofas, big pillows. Now I understood why the Just Be needs an interior supervisor. But I was distracted when a longliner pulled up next to the Just Be, the Bristol Leader, a top cod fishing boat. The crew still had their rain pants on and were scrambling to wrap things up for the night. The Bristol Leader and the Just Be, two ships in the night. I pondered the contrast for a moment and decided the moral of the story, no matter how rich or how poor, we're all the same in one way. We all need toilet paper. From the grocery store to the Kodiak waterfront, I'm Rhonda McBride.
After restocking on supplies and some repairs to its fuel line, the Just Be headed out to take in the scenery of Yakutat. Superyacht Time says the Just Be is 59 meters long, cruises at 11 knots, and can sleep up to 14 guests, taken care of by a crew of 14.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fishermen share encounters with a warming climate. More after this.
Did you know that eating wild and sustainable Alaska seafood can boost your immune system? Learn more about Alaska seafood's many proven nutritional benefits at wildalaskaseafood.com.
Fishermen are closest to the changes brought by an off-kilter climate, and talking about it is a first step in finding solutions. That's the thought behind the Nature Conservancy's second collection of audio stories in its Tidal Change series. Spokesman Dustin Solberg of Cordova.
If we're not talking about the problem or the challenges ahead, we're certainly not going to start tackling them.
The stories reveal a swirl of emotions. Here's a sampler.
The environment's changing, undoubtedly.
Leonard Leach of Ketchikan has been fishing since 1961.
This whole warming trend keeps happening and the ocean starts warming. My understanding is jellyfish really come back, and that would be really detriment to our gill netting, at least, and seining.
Leah Cook fishes at Bristol Bay with her family and worries about the warmer waters.
The water's warmer and the fish get confused and they don't know when they're supposed to run, and so it just really affects the peak and the amount of fish that come through, because there is that confusion in the school of, like, when are we supposed to go and, like, spawn and do all these things.
Climate change is the biggest concern of Bob Etter, a 45-year veteran fishing Dungeness crab in Oregon.
Warm water produces more harmful algae blooms. It's not something that's coming, it's something that we have been experiencing. I don't think I know any fishermen that don't recognize climate change and the challenge is coming.
Lori Rutvik of Dillingham speaks to the odd run timing at Bristol Bay.
When I was a child, it was the 4th of July run, and it was pretty predictable. It's not predictably the 4th of July anymore.
Katrina Leary grew up at a fishing camp along the Kuskokwim River and called it magical.
It's just really emotional when you realize that your livelihood is being threatened. Kids might not be able to do this. Fishing really is our life. I couldn't imagine a summer without fishing. I couldn't, and I hope I don't ever have to.
Find links at tidalchange.org and alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
No personal messages today, but a special programming note. At 12:30, we're going to have a special Talk of the Rock with Sarah Phillips of the Chamber of Commerce, giving us the latest on the Crab Fest schedule, parade, and more. So stay tuned. Pam Foreman will be doing that interview. And then in the morning at 9 a.m., a very special episode of The Lowdown. I will be chatting with members of the EOC about the latest information on issues related to COVID-19, Kodiak's response to it, and what they see for the fall. If you have questions for the EOC, give us a call at 486-3181 or email lowdown@kmxt.org. Well, it's 56 degrees in Kodiak, and let's see, 10% chance of rain. Cloudy skies, it says, but I see a lot of blue skies right now. Few clouds tonight with a low of 49. Tomorrow, a high of 63. Some clouds in the morning, but mainly sunny skies in the afternoon. It's going to be another beautiful day. Well, today is Thursday, the 13th of August. The sun rose at 6:32 a.m., and it will set tonight at 9:56 p.m., giving us 15 hours and 25 minutes of daylight, losing 4 minutes and 38 seconds. And the sun is going to rise tomorrow at 6:34 a.m. Our record high was 77 in the year 2000, and record low was 36 in 1928. If you're heading out onto the water, there's a high pressure lingering over the North Gulf Coast, giving us this beautiful weather. Then a front with a series of weak lows are going to move across the Southern Gulf Thursday afternoon through Friday afternoon. A 1,006 millibar low, 130 nautical miles south of Sandpoint. Thursday night, we'll move into the North Pacific Friday afternoon. And looking locally, I don't see any small craft advisories or warnings. All right, so we can move on to the Kodiak District tides. We got a low tide coming up at 3:17 p.m. of 3.63 feet, and a high tide tonight at 9:55 p.m. of 7.63 feet. Over on the west side in Eugenic Bay, low tide at 4:23 p.m. of 6.28 feet, and a high tide at 10:23 p.m. of 11.71 feet. Here is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 23, date issued 10 a.m. on August 13th. The current commercial salmon fishing period in the Iskut Bay section of the Afognak District, south of a line from Haystack Rock to Pillar Cape, will close at 9 p.m. Thursday, August 13th. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Friday, August 14th, until 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th in the following areas. In the inner Ugak Bay, outer Ugak Bay, cichlidic and two-headed sections of the east side Kodiak District, north of a latitude of Cape Kiavac. There will be a 48-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Friday, August 14th, to 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th in the following areas. In the outer Karluk and outer Iakuluk sections of the southwest Kodiak District, the northwest Kodiak District, except for the Anton Larsen Bay, Sheratine Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Thacker Bay, Spearden Bay, and Uyak Bay sections will remain closed. The Cape Alatak, Humpy Deadman, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, Olga Bay, and Dog Salmon Flat sections of the Alatak District. the southeast of Fog Neck, Raspberry Strait, southwest of Fog Neck, northwest of Fog Neck, Paranosa Bay, northeast of Fog Neck, and Duck Bay sections of the Fog Neck District, and the Seven Rivers and Two-Headed sections of the Eastside Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kiavec, and the northeast Kodiak District. Closed waters are reduced in the Dog Salmon Flat section of the Allatack District until 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th, to the fishing game markers located at the stream terminus of Dog Salmon Creek, stream number 257403. Closed waters are expanded near Horse Marine Lagoon until 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th, in the Dog Salmon Flat section of the Allatack District, east of a line bounded by coordinates as described in advisory announcement number 23. There will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Thursday, August 13th, until 9 p.m. Friday, August 14th, in the following areas. In the Inner Iakulik, Inner Karluk, Sturgeon, and Halibut Bay sections of the Southwest Kodiak District. Closed waters are reduced from noon Thursday, August 13th, until 9 p.m. Friday, August 14th, in the following areas. To Karluk Lagoon's exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline. To Iakulik River's exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline. To Sturgeon Lagoon's exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline. The following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 p.m. Thursday, August 13th. The Shuyak Island, Paul's Bay sections of the Fog Neck District, and the Big River, Hallow Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Dakovac Bay, and Katmai sections of the Mainland District, and the Linchak Bay section of the Mainland District north of a latitude of Cape Kekernoi. The following areas remain open until further notice. The Iziut Bay section of the Fog Neck District north of a latitude of Haystack Rocks to Pillar Cape, and the Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area, also known as Telrod Cove. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak District south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse and gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. And other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations and Statistical Charts, Harvest Strategies, and Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour quarter phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
All right, we have about 1 minute for some community announcements. The Kodiak Kiwanis Kids Pink Salmon Derby is going on this weekend, August 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's a three-day event to allow for social distancing on the riverbanks. It'll go 11 to 2 p.m. every day. Participants can only participate on one of those days. It takes place at the mouth of the Buskin River, right below the bridge. The event is free. Registration is required, though, and it's for ages 3 to 15. And just make sure that you know if you're going to be parking there, you've got an Alaska State Park decal or pay the $5 State Park's use fee. And if you want to help out with the event or even join Kiwanis Club, let them know by calling 539-1422 or send them a note on their on the Kiwanis Kodiak Facebook page, and they'll put you on the they'll put you on the list. That's nice. All right, well, we got, let's see, a very special Talk of the Rock coming up next with Sarah Phillips of the Chamber of Commerce, giving us the latest on the Craft Fest schedule, parade, and more.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.